But let's look at our scripture today. How many love the word of God today? Amen. God bless you. Matthew chapter 5 and our base text for the series, chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Jesus teaching here. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you for the chance we have today to gather in your name with you, in your house, with one another. God, I thank you for the privilege of sharing in your word today. I just ask for you to use me today to be an inspiration and encouragement to your people, your church, God. Change us and shape us, God. Stretch us today. Stretch our faith today, God. We love you. We thank you for our moms today, Lord, and how much they mean to us. I just rely upon you, Lord Jesus, for the remainder of this service. It belongs to you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Notice that the Lord said this about you, and y'all forgive my voice today. I've been croupy this week and believe in God for healing, but I'm going to get through it today. And I want you to notice this today. The Lord said this about you. He said, "You are the light of the world." Speaking primarily to believers today, we're discipling. You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. You're a lamp in the house. Last Sunday morning, we kicked off this series by emphasizing that our light can never shine for Christ when we are busy satisfying our sin. That is to say that in these dark times, in these last days, it's become far too easy for many to justify compromises that create distance between them and God. And the way above that really is through repentance and your firm commitment to live a new life in Christ. How many of you realize sometimes you just need to get some things under the covering of Jesus' blood and start fresh with Jesus? Amen. And I'm so glad that he's always willing to give us those chances. Amen. Thank God. But today, you know, I just want to emphasize something today. I want us to make this commitment a little deeper and go into this next step of shining your light in the world. And for believers, this is a truth this morning that you need to hear occasionally as a reminder of why you're saved. See, church, you're saved, not just saved from hell. You're not just saved to escape the judgment from what you did in your past. You're also saved toward your mission and toward your purpose for God in this life. And that means that if you're going to be a light in the darkness, you need to remember this next step right here on your screen. Remember this: God intends for you to stand out from the rest of the world. Everybody say stand out. Come on. God intends for you to stand out from the rest of the world. Jesus said you're a light, you're a city, and you're a lamp. And that means that he intends for you to burn and to shine and to deviate from the patterns of this world that you encounter every day. In your family, some of us, on our jobs, in the marketplace. He intends for you to deviate from that behavior in philosophy, in living, so that his redemptive plan, his power, his love can flow through you in your actions, in your words, and the people around you who see his light in your life can be changed just like you've been changed. Thank God. To be light in the darkness means that you have to dare to be different, to deviate from the world's ways and stand out from the crowd. Once again, come on, everybody say, stand out. Sometimes it even means to deviate not only in philosophy and practice, everybody, but it might also mean to deviate today in our world. You may have to deviate from theology a little bit. Because in these last days, the Bible says many in the church, they will grow cold in love and they'll have itching ears and they won't even stand for sound doctrine. So you and I need to stand out for truth this morning and burn for God in the middle of all this darkness that can occur anywhere in our era. But aren't you glad today? He gives us tools and resources to help us know exactly how to stand out in the darkness. And it begins with having faith that enables you to do something very, very strange. strange today. I'm going to hit you with a strange concept today, but it's going to encourage us. Here it is. It's going to really cause you to stand out. Watch this closely this morning. You have to believe right in the middle of a world of unbelief. You have to believe right in the middle of a world of unbelief. Are you able to do that? Of all the spiritual tools and resources that God gives, the scripture teaches us that this here, this is it. This is the trait that really separates those who shine from those who don't shine for God. Can you continue in belief in the midst of a world of unbelief? When all of your circumstances and all of the evidence around you tells you that there's no reason to keep believing, are you able to believe in what God's word says rather than what the world says, rather than what the bank says, rather than what the doctor says, rather than what your friends say? This is the real dividing line for many people in the faith. If your reliance on the supernatural things of God goes to and fro, if it comes and goes based on your circumstances, or if you're able to remain fixed on what God can do even when you're challenged. There's two types of people in this room today and watching. There are those whose faith wavers and their great belief goes up and down based on what's going on in their lives and around them, what they see on the news, what their friends say. And then there's going to be those who are trained, those people who have decided to be a great light in the middle of darkness. And those are the people, it doesn't matter what you hear, it doesn't matter what goes on, you just know that God's been faithful to you and his word is true and his word says exactly what he's going to do and he does not change, and you can stand on the word of God and believe God to get you through every time. Come on, somebody. Are y'all receiving it so far this morning? Look at a story from Jesus in Mark chapter 9 and verse 17 and 18. It says this, then one of the crowd, y'all are familiar with this story. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Not very encouraging. Did you notice as we read that story that this dad, this desperate dad, he doesn't have much reason to believe. He's going through an unimaginably difficult situation with his own child. And he doesn't know what to do. I don't know if you've been there, but we've been there. There's not a more helpless feeling for a parent than to see your child suffering and there's nothing you can do about it. How many know what I'm talking about right there? It's an amazing and helpless feeling. He'd probably been listening to the disciples teach about Jesus and testify about how God can cast out evil spirits and heal the sick. But when he brought his son to the disciples, they couldn't even help him. And he didn't have much of a reason to believe. All the evidence said that his situation was hopeless. He was in a world of unbelief and so discouraged because God had not answered his prayer. I've been there. I'm sure that you've been there as well. It looked like his son's fate had been sealed. And this desperate dad had to do something unique. He had to go above and beyond the disciples' head and take his son straight to Jesus. It was a last-ditch effort to get God on his side to do something that he desperately needed him to do. It's kind of like, you disciples, man, y'all been preaching one thing and here we are. I need you to do something great and I need you to do it, but you couldn't get it done. Well, what else can I do? I remember there have been so many times in our life and in my life, I can remember being so desperate for God to move and for God to touch the church and touch my life or touch my wife or touch one of our kids and give us a provision or do something great that only he can do. I can remember being so desperate. I'm just piling myself in the altar praying, Lord, help me. Have you ever been there? Jesus answered him and said this. This is in verse number 19. He said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" But then I love what Jesus said. He said, "Bring him to me." That gets me fired up. It lets me know some things about our God. When nothing else works, you can always take it to Jesus. Amen. Verse 20, then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit, look what happened, convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so Jesus asked the Father, this is verse 21, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." Watch what happens here. Verse 22. "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." But please notice the desperate plea of this desperate dad. When he has nothing left and no reason to believe whatsoever, he says this to the Lord. He said, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Notice how the dad began telling the Lord all the details of what happens to his son. And as I thought about this week, I remember talking to people, even recently, so many people who are in this kind of shape in their faith life. You see, all they've seen and all they've been through have left them in the clash. The clash between belief and unbelief. I'm asking you to get trained this morning, church, on being the kind of light for God that your belief never wavers. That unbelief cannot creep up upon your life. But this man had been through so much. When the prayers have shifted from having confidence in what God can do to just throwing up their hands and asking God, "If there's anything you can do, have compassion on us and help us." Guys, this is a dark, dark place right here. When you're so broken and you're beat up by your circumstances that all the hope you can ring up inside of you is this: "God, if you can do something, please do something." The clash between belief and unbelief. But here's the difference. Here's the strange thing. Here's the difference between those who are going to stay in that darkness and those who are going to be a light in that darkness. Are you ready? Come on, if you're ready, say, "I'm ready." People who shine always remember that it is not a matter of if God can move, it's a matter of when God can move. It's not a matter if you can do anything, God, it's when you're going to do something. That's the difference in attitude and philosophy and faith and commitment of those people who are going to shine in the middle of the darkness that's all around you. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning, because when you go home today, you're going to go home to some darkness. And when you get up in the morning and you go to work, you're going to go to work in some darkness. And you got kinfolks in your life that are eat up with darkness. And God is calling upon us to look down deep inside and remember the faithfulness of God and remember how God has come through every single time without waver, and remember the faithfulness of the Lord your God, and say, "You know what? I can count on him to do it one more time." Come on, somebody. Jesus gave him the most wonderful response in verse 23. He says to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Whew. Come on, that causes us to have some faith right there, doesn't it? But notice what happened. I just love how this plays out in our minds, because this desperate dad, he's going to overcome his clash of belief and unbelief, but he realizes it now. He says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I got some belief here, Lord. But I've been through some stuff. Oh, yeah. Come on, I got a relationship with you. I believe what I've seen and I believe what I've heard, and I've seen your hand in my life many times before. But here lately, I've just been going through it, and I've been stretched through the mud, and somebody's been after me, and I just don't know what to do. Lord, are you still there? Lord, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about, God? Here's the thing. I'm in a clash. It's a thing of I've got some belief and I've got some unbelief too. I'm so thankful that the Lord said in other places, all you need is the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed. See, it doesn't take a whole bunch of belief, does it? It just takes your unwavering, steady knowledge and confidence in what God can do. And if you believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Come on, if you believe it, say a good amen this morning. That's what he said. Look at this slide. All things. Somebody say all things. This is the difference in the light and the darkness. People around you are going to need somebody. They need you to shine for God. They need somebody that knows how to believe in spite of what the evidence says. In spite of what the doctor says sometimes. Who's going to shine and stand up and say, you know what? I realize that the news you just got isn't all good news. I realize that you've been under attack from people. You've been left alone, hurt, and abandoned by folks that you should have been able to count on to love you, but they turned their back on you. Now you feel all alone. But God, but God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are y'all with me this morning? All things are possible to him who believes. What does that look like? I just want to tell you something. Look at this. I want you to roam around in the arena of faith. You get up every day. Don't get up looking for proof. Get up looking for faith. You don't need proof. All you need is knowledge and faith in what God can do. Roam around every day. Think about these attributes. Live with a sense of awe about God and creation every day. It's what great big light shining faith does in the darkness. You live with a great sense of awe about your purpose. You live with a great belief that your Heavenly Father knows what's happening. By the way, all four of these are attributes of our faith life that most of us lose when we get a little older. Did y'all realize that? Well, what happens? Well, it sounds to me like you're describing a child. This looks like the faith of a child. What do you mean roam around in the arena of faith? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you couldn't stop me. Didn't need proof. Get out of my way. I'm going. My favorite thing to play was Huckleberry Finn. Everywhere I went, I was on an adventure. I roamed around thinking like a child. I wanted to see the horizon. Anybody know what I'm talking about, guys? This is what the life should look like for believers in the Lord. Roam around looking for what God might do every day, like a kid, always looking to express faith and not doubt, with a sense of awe about God and creation. When is the last time you went outside and looked around? I'm challenging grown-ups right here. When is the last time you went outside and looked around and said, wow? When is the last time you heard a testimony and leaned in with enough interest not to blow the person off and say, God bless you, thank God, I'm so glad you got blessed, but to say, whoa, look what God can do. When we get older, we lose some of this right here. We get jaded. Stuff happens, you start working hard, you experience some ups and downs in life, and we forget what childlike faith really looks like and what it means. A lot of people forget to have a sense of awe about God's purpose in your life. That means you reach a time in your life when you stop permitting yourself to wonder what's next. Anybody hear me this morning? I'm stirring up our faith on this right now because you're going to be a greater light when you retap into the childlike faith that Jesus died on the cross for you to have. Permit yourself to wonder what's next. What's God going to do with me? What do? Well, we grow up and we get into a rut. Jobs get into a rut. Life gets into a rut. Marriages get into a rut. We forget to make experiences with God and with one another. And we need the Lord to stir us up on the inside and remind us we're not the ones in control. He's the one in control. And He's permitted you to live with a great belief that your Heavenly Father knows you. He knows what's around your corner. He knows what's next in your life. And it's okay for you to ask Him and question Him and rely upon Him and lean on Him for the great and marvelous promises of God to come into your life. Looks like faith of a child. Hey, Pastor Brandon, do you mean that to be a great light for God, I have to have a childlike faith? It might just be your answer. I said, it might just be your answer. Start trusting God the way a child trusts his mama and daddy. Amen. It'll change your life. Let's see what Jesus said about this. Matthew 18. He said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So yeah, Jesus expects us to have a childlike faith. That's light in the darkness. Children have faith that believes when there's no reason to believe. A few things I was reminded of about childlike faith, and it's going to administer to me this week. I'm going to share it with you. First of all, childlike faith gives you the courage to test boundaries and take leaps of faith. Little kids do it all the time. It gets them in trouble. Man, when I was a little kid and I had a buddy named Jamie, me and my buddy Jamie loved to go out walking in the woods, and we'd come across a creek or a ditch or something to jump, it was gonna get jumped. You know what I'm talking about? Didn't matter how wide it was, we were going to try. And if we ended up in the bottom of the ditch, we learned a lesson after a few tries. Kids do it all the time. Leaps of faith. Well, they might drag a little dirt in the house, but it's kind of like God saying this morning, if you're going to stand out from the rest, stop playing it safe all the time. Be courageous enough to step out in faith and trust God to see you and your family through. Amen. Can you receive it this morning? Another thing, childlike faith helps you not to worry so much. You ever notice kids usually don't worry themselves sick? Especially in a healthy home where the kid understands that they trust mom and dad to take care of things. I think God is saying this morning, if you're going to stand out, stop worrying and remember that you have a Heavenly Father watching over you. Come on, somebody. Childlike faith does this. It's the last thing. Childlike faith, it blindly trusts someone else for their provisions. That's what kids do. Little kids don't get up in a healthy home. They don't get up every day wondering and worrying and trying to provide for themselves. They always know where to go to get what they need. They have confidence that mom and dad's going to give it to them. So God is saying to us through that this morning, if you're going to stand out while everyone around you is struggling, just rest and trust in the Lord for what you need. Come on, can y'all receive that today? Come on, if you love the Lord, let's go ahead and give Him the best praise we got right now. He's good. Let's celebrate this right now. Be a great light in your world, a great belief in a world of unbelief. I said earlier that moms are the greatest light givers of all. And man, they really are. Moms, because your life and your words are what shows us how to believe when there's no reason to believe. How many of you are just grateful for your mom this morning? Amen. Some are here and your mom's already gone to heaven, and you know, it's okay. You can still be grateful for the time you had with her. Amen. Moms, you believe no matter what. And so we're going to conclude our thoughts today just by honoring you and saying thanks for just a moment. Honor your mother. I thought about this week. Faith-filled moms are like God's secret weapon for creating light in the darkness. Praise God. You're the secret weapon, Mom. Amen. I'll show you this picture and introduce you to this precious mother in my life. This is actually my grandmother. You don't see that? Okay, I wanted to honor her a little bit this morning and kind of share something with you. One of the great light givers in my life. This is my granny Seals. Now, obviously, the influential women in my life, it begins with my own mother, and you guys hear me tell stories about her all the time. But this is my mother's mother, Granny Seals. Now, I love to share stories about her. She was an incredible woman of God. She was a simple, simple lady. And I'll tell you this, she was my best friend in the world. And she was a great light giver in my life. Now, she's gone to heaven now to be with Jesus. And when she passed away, one of the great honors of my life was I got to preach her funeral. And it was the second most nervous day ever for me. I wanted to make sure that she was honored and all of my aunts and my mom and everybody was honored. But some things that really demonstrates this principle to me, she shined in a light of darkness and influenced and impacted my life. She was always a poor lady. She never really had anything. But I love this picture because if you look closely, Granny is giving out Christmas presents. Can y'all see that in that picture? Now, let me tell you the story behind that for just a moment. She never had enough money to buy Christmas presents. So Granny spent all year long sewing these little decorative pillows. And she would sew little decorative pillows, and she would put them, and she would stuff them with potpourri. And she would put them in a black plastic bag, and she would take them around town, and she'd sell those pillows all year long, so she would have Christmas present money. Isn't that amazing? Right. Things like that is a great light. Those are great lights to us. Amen. And she believed no matter what her circumstance. One thing she always believed without any wavering, she always believed no matter what that she was going to be the winner of the Publishing Clearinghouse sweepstakes. And every time they'd send her one of those little propaganda envelopes in the mail saying that she's a winner, she would call me up and she would always go, "Whoo, whoo, Brandon, I'm a winner." I never had the heart to tell her that that was just propaganda. Don't read the fine print, Granny. Just enjoy it. Amen. She always believed. She had five daughters, many tragedies in her life, but no matter what, she always believed God's very, very best for the people in her life. And for me, no matter what I went through, no matter what I did, she always had a word of encouragement and a reminder that God's in control, that you can do it, that you're going to overcome it. And she was a great light to everybody that knew her. And I wanted to honor my family and my mom and my grandmom today by showing y'all that and telling y'all about the little story about her. Because she was one that was a great light in the darkness. And she'd say this to me. She'd say, "You'll always be my baby." Any mamas in here feel that way about your kids? I've learned that now that both of my children are grown. I used to hear that and think, "Now that's not true." But now we realize it, don't we, dads and moms? No matter how old you get, you're always going to be a child in my heart. Now, we communicate differently now. We communicate as adults and more as friends. But you're always going to be my child, and I'm always going to believe about you what the world and sometimes even you don't get. Amen, everybody? That's the way moms feel about us. Moms, I just want to honor you by this thought right here. We're going to close and just don't want to watch this closely. Moms, you teach us to be a great light in these ways. Number one, you do this, Mom, by helping us to see without restrictions. It's what your life has done for us. Matthew 21 says this, "If you believe," Jesus said, "you'll move mountains." Let me say this to everybody here with a mom. This is what she believes about you. That if you'll just believe, if you'll just bear down and trust God and have faith, there's nothing that can stand in your way. You will move mountains. Praise God, everybody. Thank you, moms, for helping us see without restrictions. Number two, you help us to serve without reservations. There's not been a greater example of servanthood in our lives and of this great light in our life than you, Mom. Mark 10:45, for even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. In that way, Mom, we could say, you remind us of Jesus. Thank you for serving us. Thank you for living for us. Thank you for serving so much and so rarely expecting something in return. It's an amazing trait. And we'll never pick up on it without your example. And then finally this morning, you're a light to us by helping us share without regret. It's what you do. Matthew 6:3, the Lord again teaching. It says, when you give, do so in secret, and you'll be rewarded openly. Mom, there's no way for us to ever know all that you do behind the scenes. We thank you this morning for the things that you do that we don't know that you do. And we know that God has a reward for you. So this morning, I just want to read a final scripture, an instruction for all of us. Children, Ephesians 6. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Those amazing promises in life, that it'll go well with you and that you'll have long life. Did you know that those are two promises that God's word attaches to how you treat your mama? If things haven't been going well with you, look back over things and ways that you spoke and ways that you live that don't honor her. Repent and receive Christ's forgiveness in your life. Turn it around. Moms, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for your contribution and your light in our lives. And we're going to decide right now to be a great believer in the middle of all the unbelief. And part of that is establishment and formation in our life, Mom, is because of your example and your words and your prayers. Aren't you thankful for your mom this morning, guys? Do this. Mom, will you remain seated, and everybody else in here, I want us to give the best standing ovation we can to all the moms and celebrate them once more. Mom, stay seated. Everybody else, come on, let's say thanks to Mom. Let's stand up and give God praise for her this morning. Let's say a prayer for our mothers and our families today. In just a moment, we're going to do some giveaways. Let's do this. Will y'all believe with me this morning? Let's touch and agree for unique and special blessings on our mothers and our families today, guys. I'm going to pray this morning for every person in here that when you're challenged by darkness, when you're challenged by the enemy, when you're challenged by circumstances that impede upon your ability to believe today. Remember what Jesus said. If you can believe, all things are possible. All things. Aren't you glad nothing's too hard for God? For this prayer, guys, let's stand together. Let's all stand all over the house. We're praying for you guys online as well. Thank you for watching. We love you. God bless you today for you and your family. Let's believe God together to touch.